The Cap and J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago.
That's why I say
shot. No shot. With Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say shot.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap and J Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you on a Bears Monday. Bears lose to the Dolphins 35-32. We're talking to you about it. We'll hear from Courtney Cronin coming up with the latest from the locker room at 8:35. But now it's time for Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by...
That would be PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download that PointsBet updated app. Get the lightning bets, the same game parlays. I'll have one. Shay and I are going to share one tonight. We're both going to play something
Make
for the Monday night
money
game.
Together.
We're going to try.
NBA?
I had a rough beat last night, 7-leg parlay, 6-1, because the freaking Chiefs can't cover 5.5. 5.5 I bought it at.
So you're putting a parlay together, football,
yes.
little NBA?
We're going to do a same game Monday Night Football parlay.
Oh, Monday Night Football.
Okay. There you go. So, again, it'll be a lot of fun. You could do it all on PointsBet. We say good morning to Snorling.
Good morning, boys. How are we feeling?
We're doing good. Give us your thoughts. Give us some shot or no shot options here this morning.
I will, but I just want to say it was nice for the first time in my career in Chicago to watch the Bears look like they have a quarterback. That was very nice. I can't imagine what it's been like all of your lives.
Man, let me tell you something. It's been a long time. Long time coming for an offense to look like this. We mentioned like Kramer, 95 when the offense was, that was under Ron Turner.
Correct.
I'm saying, as the offensive coordinator.
Correct.
Man, that just to see points on the board, not just this game, the last three games, the amount of production we've seen offensively is just unheard of. For this Bears team, you just don't see it. All right, Shane, what do you have?
I'll get to the production the last three games, but I want to start with what we saw yesterday. Justin Fields had the best start of his NFL career with a history-making effort at Soldier Field. He broke the NFL record set by Mike Vick for single-game rushing yards by a quarterback with 178 yards on the ground. He also became the first quarterback in NFL history to rush for over 150 yards, pass for three touchdowns, and run for a touchdown in a single game. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers threw three picks in Detroit, two of them in goal-to-go scenarios. Jared Goff put up a wildly mediocre performance with an interception. Man. And Kirk Cousins completed just 55% of his passes for two touchdowns and a pick in Washington, leaving Fields as the only NFC North quarterback without an interception yesterday. Shot or no shot? Justin Fields is the best quarterback in the NFC North right now.
That's a no shot. The man who is half naked with the chains on the plane, he's got the better team, does he not?
He does.
The Vikings?
What are they? 7-1.
Yeah, that is the Wonder Bread bland Kirk Cousins.
Right. They are 7-1. They got a really good football team. They've got weapons on their offense like Thielen, Justin Jefferson, KJ Osborne, Dalvin Cook.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying best quarterback in the NFC North right now. If you parachute Justin Fields onto the Vikings.
Oh, I don't know what that looks like. Because I need to see him in a prolific passing game.
Yeah, he needs, like Kirk Cousins has had multiple 4,000-yard seasons. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not the biggest Kirk Cousins guy. Maybe I'm just, I don't care for the guy.
Right.
But I thought it was hilarious last night. I sent you guys the video. Mm-hmm. Him on the team plane with cool sunglasses, like, looks like Mr. T's chains all around him, no shirt on, and he's going nuts.
Yeah.
Like, that dude?
Rightfully so. So, here's a push and pull with this, right? We're excited for what we saw from Justin Fields, especially him utilizing his legs. Now, does the passing game come along too, Shay, with that? A prolific passing game and ability to...
So you got to prove that.
So now you're Josh Allen, right? If nothing else, if you're Justin in that spot, aren't you?
Yeah, if you get both, then you're Josh Allen. Right now, you're Jalen Hurts. But, I mean, if you think about what we saw from Josh Allen, and this kind of goes to the point of the Packers look terrible, is when the Bills got good, Josh Allen year three coincided with the Patriots getting regular. So if the Packers now are bad and getting regular, this is the moment. Fields next year, year three, if you become Josh Allen, if you get that passing game, all of a sudden you're taking advantage of the Packers vacating the division.
So for me, it's a no shot. Cap?
I'm going to say no shot right now. You gotta, like we just said, got that 7-1 team. Oh, just the whole deal. He has to prove he can be in the pocket, progressions, make big throws. We saw Tua do that yesterday. Our guy isn't getting that opportunity for various reasons. He has to prove that. So no shot.
Sure.
All right, we've asked questions kind of all year and even going back to last year about whether Cole Kmet should be the tight end of the future, whether he should remain with this team going forward. Well, he finally had his coming out party yesterday, targeted 6 times, 5 catches, 41 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Much maligned start to Cole Kmet's career, but Luke Getsy clearly was efforting to get him involved, a couple rushes out of some funky gadget plays, and then the 6 targets. So shot or no shot, Kmet proved he can still be the Bears' starting tight end going forward.
That's a shot. Now, again, I don't think he is George Kittle or Tony Gonzalez coming back or Gronk. He's not. He's an outstanding blocker, and he can be better in the pass game if you get some help where Justin has time and where they have their Tyreek Hill or A.J. Brown or Jaylen Watt. It's going to open things up for him. Is he going to be an all-pro? No, probably not. But I do like him on the team.
I say shot. However, as you well know, and I could ask you, Shay, just from a fantasy standpoint, where's Kmet amongst the top tight ends?
I don't know 20? The number off the top of my head, but not 20. He might be like 32-ish fantasy-wise.
Wouldn't you want to have something a little bit more dynamic in that spot? I'm not trying to push him out the door. I'm just asking, would you like to have a little bit more production out of that
sure.
spot?
Sure. Yeah. But again, I think you'll get more production. He's a little too, what's the right word? Waddle gave me a word. He's too sticky. He sticks to defenders. He doesn't get separation.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have more weaponry outside him, then maybe it opens things up for him. Get me a really good receiving tight end and him, and I'm good.
You know what I thought you were going to say? I thought you were going to put on the old scouting glasses and say he's too light for the position.
No, no. He's strong. He's big enough. He just doesn't get a lot of separation.
He's good enough for you in the lower half?
He is.
Okay.
Yeah. I absolutely think you get him and a receiving type tight end, that can be a dynamic combo.
All right, Shay.
Well, you know, people want that Myers out of Notre Dame. Poles trades back. Maybe you get him late first round.
Michael Mayer?
Yeah.
Michael Mayer's a good player.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
We got enough Notre Damers. Please.
All right. That's enough.
We've got Kmet. We've got Claypool. No more. Don't soil my favorite NFL team.
Blasted your boy Dabo.
Yeah, they did. 100%. They absolutely did. No doubt about it, they blasted my guy Dabo. It's not like... I like Clemson. I've never hidden that fact. They got pounded. It's not like my life ended. It's not like, oh my God, Abdallah, who probably had his entire weekend ruined because his team got pounded down in Death Valley.
You don't have to do that.
Made me happy.
You have to do that. And don't do that to Brother Freeman, most handsome man in college football.
I hear he's a great dude. I just don't root for Notre Dame football. I don't like them.
Well, then maybe
more
the Bears
their fan base.
Maybe the Bears can make Hoodie happy and go get Brock Bowers out of Georgia.
Take that.
Yeah, we do well with Georgia players on this team.
Take that. I tweeted when the game ended at LSU in Death Valley. Have a good trip. Have a safe trip back to Tuscaloosa.
Okay.
Love it.
Okay.
Love when they lose.
All right, Shay.
All right, since the offensive disaster on Thursday Night Football against Washington and the mini-bye where Luke Getsy admitted some self-scouting did take place, the Bears have the second highest scoring offense in football. They've scored more points than the Packers and Bucks combined in that span. So my question, if the Bears continue to prove they've found answers on offense, shot or no shot, they can be contenders as soon as next year.
Well, that's a shot with the extra wild card.
Yeah, I guess. They just don't have enough talent, and you can't in one offseason add everything that you need. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a crappy division. It is. Is this who Green Bay is going forward? Are they going backwards? Or are they going to have a renaissance next year? Go spend some money and get a receiver.
This NFL.
They don't have money.
Yeah, they don't have.
Neither do the Rams. And Hoodie tells me every week, hey, the Rams are in on this guy. Hey, the Rams just got Jalen Ramsey. Hey, the Rams just did that.
Yeah, they look good.
Stop with that. They don't have any money because they figure it out. Just like the Golden State Warriors.
Same way.
They figure it out.
Way into the luxury tax. They're just trying to win. They're just stockpiling talent. They don't worry about the draft. They just are concerned about getting bodies. They want to get guys that could be difference makers. So, you know, I would say shot only in this regard, Shay, only in this regard. Because of the uncertainty of the National Football League, in 1 year you can turn it around enough to be able to get into the postseason, which means, eight or nine wins would not surprise me the way this NFL is. Now, Super Bowl, no, because you still got to build toward that. But and you get the right a couple of playmakers, you get a couple of defensive studs, you got all the salary cap room in the world, and you got draft picks. Why not? Why not? Shay.
All right, Tyreek Hill caught 7 passes for 143 yards and a touchdown yesterday against the Bears. God. He's eclipsed 1,100 yards for the season through 9 games. Hill has gone over 125 yards receiving in 5 of his 9 starts. He's currently on pace to tally 2,086 yards this season, a mark that would shatter Calvin Johnson's single-season record by over 100 yards. And by the way, he's on pace to tie that record through 16 games. So it's not even just off the extra game. Shot or no shot, it's time to talk about Tyreek Hill as one of the all-time great receivers.
Yeah, that's a shot. He's tremendous. Tremendous.
All-time great, Cap?
Yes.
You're not prisoner of the moment with that comment?
No. He did it in Kansas City. There's a reason he got paid $30 million a year to go down to Miami for 5 draft picks. He's a great football player. Great. Yeah. Does he have some off-the-field issues? Yes, he has in his past. Lately, he's been a model citizen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, shot.
In the right spot, right? Right place, right spot for him to be able to just be a good citizen, be the guy, and not being overshadowed necessarily by Pat Mahomes.
Well, I mean, he's not being overshadowed by anybody because mm-hmm. he's that good. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill's a great football player.
One of the all-time greats, I will say no shot for now because there's been so many greats. All-time great versus all-time great, I think, is different, Cap.
Agreed. He could be that guy.
Yeah, no question. He could be that guy. Absolutely. I'll say no shot for now, but definitely great. All-time great, jury's still out. I'm not on first take, so I don't have to say he's an all-time great yet.
Correct.
I don't have to say he's an all-time great. Well, hang on. let's see. Shay, you got one more to shoehorn in there?
It's a quick one, yeah.
Do we still use shoehorns, Cap?
I don't own a shoehorn.
Yeah.
I don't.
So what do we use in that instead of saying shoehorn? Fit in? What do we use instead of using the word shoehorn in one more?
I still say shoehorn, but I've never used a shoehorn.
So you ever had tight shoes?
Yeah, but I've never used one.
You just kind of just put your foot in there, kind of twist it in there?
Yeah.
The shoehorn was always a good thing to have, just in case.
My grandpa always used one, but more because he couldn't, bend down to do it. He wouldn't get back up. So he just had to use the horn so he could reach down and get his foot in there.
Put that on the poll, Charlie, at ESPN 1000. Was a shoehorn just a lazy tool because you didn't want to bend over?
What about...
Yes or no?
Do you carry a handkerchief?
I used to.
I never understood... My mom would say... make sure you have a handkerchief with you. Love you, Mom. Miss you dearly. No. So you blow your nose in it and put it back in your pocket?
It's the way it was back in the day.
Yeah, it was horrible.
I was digging around for it. I usually have a shoehorn on me. Like, I have one at home, and I keep one in my backpack. But I don't know where the one I usually have on me is. I don't want to...
You wear Jordans. Yeah. What are you talking about? You have a shoehorn.
Yeah, don't want to
put dress shoes on.
Don't want to bend the heels.
Put that on the poll, Charlie. Do you use a shoehorn because you're too lazy to bend over and put your shoe on? Yes or no? Back to your calls on the Bears, 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Courtney Cronin at 835. The great Alex Brown at 9. All part of the mix on a Bears Monday on Cap and J-Hood.
Don't Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
And Jay Hood, mornings 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000. If you don't get a chance to listen to the show live, check out the ESPN Chicago app. Check out our podcast. Got so much stuff on the Captain Jay Hood podcast, including Snarling You, the latest in college football, and so much more. We're with you until 10 o'clock. Greeny at 10, Carmen Yurko at 12, Waddle and Sylvia at 2, Bleck and Abdallah at 6, Freddie and Fitzsimmons at 8, part of the mix right here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Oh, by the way, Cap, so the Dolphins also were really, really amazed and impressed by Justin Fields and the Bears. Mike McDaniel, boy genius, the head coach for the Dolphins, on what he saw from Fields. As a matter of fact, before you hear that, you remember that, you see that clip of McDaniel seeing Fields on the sidelines, telling him to stop it. He came over to the Dolphins sidelines, hey, man, stop it. You're killing us, stop it. McDaniels.
You know, that was the big point of emphasis going into the game. Just knowing how he's really, really helped really change that offense's complexion the last couple weeks. So you do your best. There was a couple missed tackles live that I saw that you'd love to have. But ultimately, you just have to continue to stress rush lanes and you know, we got to improve on our plan that we're trying to execute. That type of, you know, you run into those type of players once in a while in the National Football League, and you've got to be able to take away what they're doing really well. We were able to do that for probably the first three quarters, but I'm just happy that we did in the fourth.
So the thoughts there from Mike McDaniel, the head coach for the Dolphins. He was pretty impressed by what he saw from Justin Fields.
Yeah, when he yelled at him, when he came over, as you were telling me on the sideline, Justin ran out of bounds. He's like, stop it.
Killing us. It was the last time that happened, Shay. Like, a quarterback was so good, the head coach of the other team's like, all right, that's enough.
Probably Tom Brady had it happen at some point, but I don't know if he was ever running into the sideline, so maybe not. Why does Mike McDaniel always sound like he just ripped a bong when he goes up on that podium?
That guy looks cool, man.
McDaniel?
I think he's a good coach, and I think he's generally a good coach. He's made some iffy decisions, but I think he's a good coach and a cool guy. He just, when he gets on that podium, man, he sounds like he just smoked the largest bowl known to man.
That's what he sounds like. And players think he's cool because of it, too, by the way. The mistakes he makes, by the way, as we go back to the phone lines, is that he goes for it on fourth down a lot. He is exactly what the modern GM wants. Oh, he's into analytics. I mean, he's into Madden football. Fourth and two, fourth and four. We should be able to get that all the time, man. He's a risk taker. But, you know, they're 5-3. He's lucky. He has Tua, and he's got a couple of good wide receivers, a decent enough running game to really do some damage here, I think, in the NFL this season. The Dolphins, were you impressed?
Yeah, their defense, I think, will end up being a problem for them. Although, ramping Bradley Chubb up. Did you see when he had Justin in his sights? He's going to tackle him for a lot. See you later.
Yeah.
Justin went by him. Bradley Chubb's looking around just shaking his head like, what? But when he gets ramped up and comfortable in what they do in their system, I think it's a really good addition. Now, we're going to find out, can they win over a Bills team or a Chiefs team? Mm-hmm. There's some good football teams they have to beat.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. Randy in West Chicago on ESPN 1000 with Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Randy.
Oh, good morning. I was just going to talk about Justin Fields and how I'm a big-time Ohio State fan, and I've been telling my buddies, like, just calm down. He's going to catch his groove because I see what he did to Clemson and how he got to the national game. Well, Alabama, so I'm telling my buddies, and they just calling for Simeon, and I'm like, just calm down, wait a minute, and he's going to catch his groove because I see what he can do at Ohio State. But my other question is, do you think that Eberflus would admit that, according to Ohio State bye week, that'd be like, do you think they talked to Ryan Day to see what was good with Justin Fields to see what will work, because since Ohio State bad weekend after the Washington game, Justin Fields been a different player, like the game plan and everything.
By the way, you all don't play very well with tall grass, wind, and rain. You barely got past the cat Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that was scary.
Mindy and I watched that game, and she's like, what was the point spread on this game? I'm like, that's the first time you've ever asked that. She said, they had to be favored by, 21? I'm like, no, 38 and a half.
Yeah, right, exactly.
38 and a half.
So to answer your question, sir, I'm sure that even before, as they got the job, Eberflus and Poles, I'm sure they reach out to Ryan Day. Because you got to find out, not from Nagy, but you got some intel from Nagy. Okay, but you pushed it out the way, Cap. Yeah, all right, it's Nagy. Say, okay, Matt, what did you learn from Justin? Well, he does this, that. Okay, thanks. All right, thanks, Matt. Now, let's get to Ryan Day. I'm sure they talked to him to find out what he did best in college, to try to accentuate the positives and hide the negatives of his game.
Maybe. I mean, you could just pull up the tape and make your own determination.
Sure.
They may have to find out what kind of a guy he is. What buttons can we push with this kid, and what is something that won't work? Because there are some people that you can get after them hard, and they flourish. And there are other guys you have to take a different approach. You cannot have the same approach. I might be able to coach you and call you whatever name I want, swear at you, scream at you, and all it does is fuel your fire. Snarling, I could do the same exact thing, and he curls up in a fetal position, which wouldn't be shocking. But
oh, my God.
Right?
It's not true. I'll go toe-to-toe with you any day.
Pack a lunch, bring a platoon.
Why does he have to eat?
He better be well-fed and ready to go.
Okay. Why the platoon?
But my point is, okay, he needs help. My point is,
he needs help.
That I could challenge certain guys. I don't mean me. A coach.
Yes.
Could challenge certain guys, and they will revel in it. And other guys need a softer approach. So that might be what they got from Ryan Day. In terms of changing the offense, that was a Getsy, Janoco, he's the quarterback coach, Eberflus production.
All right, back to the phone lines. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. In Hinsdale, here's Kevin with Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000. All right, Kev.
Hey, good morning, fellas. This is as close to a victory Monday without a W as possible. I mean, we've got a quarterback. He can run. He can pass. He's improving game to game. He's owning his mistakes. We got a GM that can chew bubble gum and walk at the same time. The guy's getting rid of defense, add an offense. We got a head coach. I mean, the defense didn't look great, but that last quarter, they made a stop. They gave us a chance to win. If it wasn't for a bad call from the ref, we'd be right in it. We got an offensive coordinator. We got draft capital. We got cap space. I mean, who are these guys? At the beginning of the year, I had zero expectations. I just wanted to be able to watch four quarters of Bears football. And I think that was probably the most fun game I've watched in a long time.
Yeah, again, like Hoodie said, you want your team to win. But I get what the bigger picture is. I've got no issues. If that's what I see, and the Bears are scoring 32 points, and my quarterback looks good, and we keep accumulating talent, okay, we don't have a good defense. Detroit's going to score some points on us. That's just a fact. Can we outscore them? We'll see.
That's where you are right now, aren't you?
Bears are a 2.5-point favorite, by the way.
Against the Lion?
Yes. That's it.
You can jump on it now?
I would bet the Bears.
I'm not convinced yet.
What?
I'm not sure which way I'm going.
We are a juggernaut offensively, pal.
Lions coming off a win against a pretty bad team, so I don't really know what really to do with them right
also,
now.
Also, what people are going to leave out about the Lions' loss yesterday, that game very easily could Lions have been 21-3. Very easily 21-3 Green Bay if Aaron Rodgers doesn't melt down three times.
Right there
on that side of the field.
At the goal line.
I mean, very easily that's a 21-3 game.
Okay, but it wasn't.
Oh, I get that, but I'm just saying, it very easily could have been, so I wouldn't overreact to what the Lions did against the Packers.
Want to jump in on that, too? Is it two?
2.5.
Want to jump in?
No.
Come on, you don't need to break down any formula. You know what you're getting here.
I'm not ready. I think the I'm telling you,
we got all week to talk about it.
Lions are getting ready to go on a little bit of a run. I'm not telling you they're going to the playoff. I just think they're going to play better the second half of the season. I do.
After the Bear game.
Maybe.
We'll see, right?
Like the the Lions have, what, three starters on their offensive line, their first-round picks?
Yeah, we know the history, but what about the ball club? We know how they got it built, but it's about wins and losses. They were able to escape because Rodgers is on a losing streak right now. He can't find himself. But against the Bear?
I think it's hilarious.
Also, despite the three first-round picks on that line, they really can't run the ball lately. DeAndre Swift is a dead body. You know, they're rolling Jamal Williams
out
there.
Well, he just came back yesterday, DeAndre Swift.
No, he was back the game before, too, but they only gave him four carries.
Right. They said they're going to use him very sparingly as they try to get him healthy.
It's a problem. You don't have Jamison Williams. Like, they're not fully healthy. And despite having a great offensive line, Goff melts down. They can't run. They're really not that talented. They scored one touchdown after October 3rd in the month of October.
I mean, Amon Ra, the good St. Brown.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, Equinemius. Amon Ra St. Brown, he's going to be tough to defend. He's a good football player.
We got all week to get there. I was just wondering, were you going to jump in on that 2.5?
I'm not ready yet.
I understand.
Not ready.
All right. Who will jump in with us will be Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN.com. We'll get her thoughts from the locker room. That's coming up next. Alex Brown at 9 o'clock, all part of a Bears Monday on Cap and Jay Hood. Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears momentarily here on Cap and Jay Hood. Small business owners, lend us your ears. You may have overpaid on your payroll taxes during COVID. Call 800-704-2000 with any ERC questions. That is 800-704-2000. Or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com before the filing window closes or funds run out. Charlie.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, that same ESPN Chicago app in which you can find Crosstalk Unhinged. Waddle and Sylvie, Carmen and Yurko, they're not the boys in blue, but they do work blue when you listen to their show. Not safe for work, but also very entertaining. Crosstalk Unhinged, available on the ESPN Chicago app. Courtney Cronin covers the Bears for ESPN.com. She joins us here on Cap and Jay Hood as the Bears lose to the Dolphins 35-32. Good morning, Courtney.
Morning, guys.
Double C.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. It feels like a Bears victory Monday based on the calls and the feeling we had this morning based on what we saw offensively. So, I mean, Justin Fields and that offense, I mean, how much did that surprise you, the way the offense was opened up?
I mean, I'm with you on that feeling, because just the vibe that I get from my Twitter mentions right now and just kind of hearing the discourse in this city, it's the progress. This is exactly what people wanted to see, the incremental progress on a week-to-week basis for Justin Fields, and knowing that it is probably going to be tough sledding for a bit for this defense. And there's a multitude of reasons for that. It's not, personally, I think it has nothing to do with not having Robert Quinn and Roquan Smith there right now. I think there's some schematic adjustments that need to take place, but that's neither here nor there when you're talking about Justin Fields and the progress that he's making and showing that he can do enough and even sometimes do more than what's needed to help this team stay in games and you know, create this high-powered unit that didn't exist weeks 1 through 6. So that, to me, was probably the biggest takeaway, in that there's building blocks here that you can be really happy about if you're a Bears fan, because your quarterback is showing he's, you know, unquestionably the top quarterback in that 2021 draft class. And just the turnaround that he's had the last couple weeks, there's a lot that's rooted in the scheme and what Luke Getsy's setting him up to do, and also just the way that they're executing differently than they did before. And I saw Seth Walder from ESPN Analytics tweeted this last night. Fields has the highest QBR this season among NFC North quarterbacks. I don't think anybody would have expected that maybe 4 weeks ago when this team loses to Washington.
So looking at this team and where it's headed, I feel like Hoodie does. Like, it feels like a victory Monday, because if that loss is the difference between getting whoever that receiver or left tackle or run stuffer up front, three technique, whoever that is, I'm okay with it, because this is not a playoff team. How far away do you think, having watched every practice and every game close, how far away are they?
I think they're still a ways away. And I say that knowing the progress that we've seen and knowing offensively how there have been times where Fields had to work with, he's made something out of nothing, and then other times it's looked really good. You can go back to several plays yesterday. I mean, to finally see Cole Kmet become the red zone weapon that they've needed, the element of that offense that's been missing, that's, you know, credit to some really successful play calling and, you know, just great execution by the tight end, too. Darnell Mooney on that third down touchdown reception he caught from Justin Fields, perfect route, perfect ball. Like, all things like that are finally coming together, but there still are, you know, some personnel deficiencies, I think, that you have to take a look at. And just knowing where their draft priorities are going to be, what their free agency priorities are going to be on both sides of the ball. To me, it starts up front, both offensive and defensive lines. That's probably where the focus is going to be. If you're thinking about like the first round right now, and I know a lot of people were making a big deal out of Ryan Poles being at Northwestern, Ohio State over the weekend, I don't really think it was for C.J. Stroud. I think it was for the left tackle for Northwestern, potentially keeping an eye on a prospect like that.
Skoranek.
Forward and having Skoronski. Somebody that you can. And what was that?
Skoronski, right? You're talking
yes,
about.
Yeah. Exactly. And having somebody like that in the fold that could be a 10-year player for you, like that's where the priorities need to go from here on out as they start to figure out, okay, they can get more pieces around Fields this way and also up front on defense because they can't pressure the quarterback. Yes, some of that has to do with personnel issues. I think more of it upon watching this thing back is schematic more than anything else. But that should give them at least a blueprint. Like, they know what they're doing now the next eight games. Like, you know, everyone's auditioning for a job. I think that's not hyperbolic to say whatsoever, but you've started to figure out the answers and the pieces that you're going to carry over to next year and then beyond. It's just filling out the rest of those. It's going to be an evaluation process the next 2 months.
Courtney, when you talk to Alan Williams, the defensive coordinator for the Bears, I wonder what's his letter grade for Gordon and Brisker and how mm-hmm. they've developed. What's his comments on how they developed in the secondary?
Yeah, I mean, it's been the last couple weeks. You know, I know Kyler Gordon had a tough day yesterday, and that's a tough matchup that he drew, but I think he's got to play better. And a lot of that has to do just with maybe timing things better. Just upon rewatching the game a little bit this morning, felt like there were some times where he got lost in the back end. And, of course, the speed of Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill is going to do that to you. But, you know, Brisker's kind of been more level throughout this season, and I know that the New England games where the two of them made their hay with their first interceptions each, and it quieted down a little bit since then. But the way that the secondary yesterday kept getting attacked, I mean, some of that had to do just with the way that schematically what they were calling. They played off on Tyreek Hill a bunch. Like, so they were trying to give him a cushion to mitigate the speed element, and it ended up blowing up in their face. So I don't know if all of that can be on, you know, some of that's on coaching, some of that's on the scheme. But as far as Brisker and Gordon have gone, I think that they've panned, like, yes, there's going to be rough moments for any rookie. But those two picks have panned out the way that the Bears had hoped for a secondary that at this point last year was not very good. Like, we're not talking about the pass defense by and large this season as being the biggest struggle for this Bears team. I think the pass rush and the lack of pressure they get on opposing quarterbacks, a far bigger issue. And the run defense, which, you know, there were moments yesterday where it looked a little bit better. But like that, those are more the glaring issues because the pass defense has been remedied in a lot of different ways by the additions that they have with the two rookies back there.
In terms of looking at this matchup now coming up with the Detroit Lions, I know the Lions aren't a great football team, but they do have some pieces on that team. What concerns you about the way the Bears are playing right now that may not be sustainable for the rest of this season? They still don't have great receivers. They still can't protect them in the pocket.
Yeah, and I mean, I know any time a quarterback takes off and you're always worried about hits and how sustainable that is, the caveat is he's probably going to get hit because of the pass protection. What's the harm in putting him on the run like that? And he actually does seem to avoid it. I mean, he didn't get hit all that much when he was running yesterday that maybe we expected, but that's where my head naturally goes when we're thinking about the sustainability of that and the livelihood of your quarterback and making sure he's going to be available for all the games because you need him. I mean, he's somebody who can do so much damage on third down. I mean, that's where he converted 6 third downs for a first down yesterday, 7 attempts, 111 yards and a touchdown. Like, that's impressive stuff. And he can make he's the one making plays when stuff breaks down, because you're right. Like, you know, Equanimeous St. Brown, that fourth down play, I don't think that was a great play design. But, like, you know, make a play, go catch that ball. I mean, there was the 3rd and 14 incomplete to N'Keal Harry, too. I mean, there certainly is, you know, there's a lot left to be desired with their receivers. And so, yeah, to your point, Cap, I think that that is not going to be a consistent thing on a week-to-week basis. You will have some rough moments. But I think for Fields and what we've seen with this offensive line and the pass protection, he was only pressured on, like, 10 of his, you know, 10 of his dropbacks yesterday, which was a low number for him because they're doing more to scheme him away from pressure, moving the pocket. I'd like to see that trend continue, because it's really the only way, until you start getting better offensive linemen in the fold, for them to be able to make sure he stays upright and isn't taking hits unnecessarily.
Any injuries?
Well, we know with a Kendall Vildor injury, he had an ankle. He only played 2 snaps. It's one to monitor. I think Jalen Jones did okay. Like, nothing that really is jumping out to me right now in place of him. But that was probably the bigger one. I know Kari Blasingame got looked like he got a little shaken up in the second half, but I think he was okay towards the end. So nothing major, it sounds like, for the Bears coming out of this one.
It's amazing. You have covered a football team that's been relatively injury-free. Like, no major injuries, right?
No, I mean, it's pretty nuts, because you think to, you know, I remember seeing those injury reports coming off of the long stretch that they had before the New England game, where they had no one on the injury report. And that's jarring to me. And it is kind of interesting, because every time we'll talk to Justin Fields about, you know, why he went to the medical tent in Dallas, oh, well, I re-injured my hip or something like that. I'm like, well, you didn't show up in the injury report. So, like, was it just not reported? Was it not enough? Was it just, like, you know, something that was lingering? Like, but it's amazing that he's maintained his health and I mean, he's a tough dude, and nobody's ever questioned that whatsoever. It's just crazy to think about a guy who, you know, is such a physical specimen that he doesn't get hurt at some point when he's running and taking hits, and, you know, when he's behind his offensive line and taking hits. I mean, he must have the secret sauce, because I don't know how he doesn't get injured. A lot of times, I think there's moments where you're watching this game and saying, man, I hope that he can make it out, you know, without seeing the injury tent again, and he somehow does.
As always, Courtney, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
See you, Double C.
It is Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN.com.
He's got that invisible juice. Isn't that what they said in Any Given Sunday?
Yes, the invisible juice.
What was the name of that quarterback? Demon Willie Beeman.
Yes.
I've got that invisible juice. And then his teammates let him lay on the ground in the rain. I'll never forget it.
Courtney's reports here on Cap and Jehuda, brought to you by Wintrust Bank. Grab a stick, Cap. Grab a stick. Because I want you to poke the ribs of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. See if it's really dead. Next.
You got it.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Cap and Jay Hood on
Baby
ESPN 1000.
Basketballers.
Oh, my God. ESPN Chicago app. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll hear from Alex Brown, the great Alex Brown, his analysis on the Bears and their loss against the Miami Dolphins. So, you got your stick out? Get your stick out, Cap. I want you to just poke the Packer. See if the Packer are still alive.
So, I have a T-shirt that I'm actually going to probably wear here tomorrow. You know what it says? Take that, Green Bay.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yep, had it made for my guys up at Obvious Shirt. Take that, Green Bay, because guess what? Your time atop the division is over. And guess what? We got ourselves a quarterback.
That's fine, but here's the thing. They're 3-6. I don't think the Packers are dead yet, Shay. I mean, they're playing poorly, yes.
They're dead.
But until they're actually dead, they're resting comfortably now. Can we get you a pillow? Can I get you something?
They're in hospice.
Is it okay?
It's over.
Could you get her clean sheets, for God's sakes? Get her clean sheets. it's okay.
He's got to poop. Do we have a bedpan?
Aaron, it's okay. We'll take care of you. So that's what's happening right now, Cap. Not dead yet. They're 3-6. If they had the graphic up there, you know, on ESPN or NBC, like playoff teams in the hunt, Packers in the hunt, in the mix.
They're done.
Oh, don't say that. You're just a hater. Hang on a
Take
second.
Take that, Green Bay.
It is Aaron Rodgers, after all.
Let me ask you a question. Would you rather have their situation right now?
Careful.
Or ours?
First of all, would you rather is my bet, right? Wado? Can't say would you rather. It's copyrighted. Right? So can't do that. So ask it a different way. Waddle.
Okay.
Mark?
If you had your choice, which would you like to have?
Ah.
The Packers' current situation today or the Bears?
Bears.
No question about
future.
It.
As a matter of fact, I can make a case. I can make a case, Cap, that at some point the Packers will say, all right, Aaron, that's enough. Love, get in there. No, seriously. Because, what I mean, if you're losing, why should Aaron keep playing?
Right.
They'll bring love in.
Don't that you? Will be so hilarious.
I think that's a possibility. I can create that scenario.
Good for Packers fans, right? Jordan Love waiting in the wings, just like Rodgers was for Favre. It's the scenario.
Aaron better get like 10 doses of ayahuasca. I'm telling
maybe
you, he doesn't want to watch the rest
Cap,
of this.
Before he was doing all the ayahuasca, he was a good quarterback. Now he's throwing 3 interceptions against the Lions.
To watch the Packers just spiral down the drain,
yeah,
it's awesome.
Well,
I know we're not going to the playoffs.
That's why I can't talk. I can't talk junk because I see what I see at Soldier Field all the time.
We got a quarterback.
I understand, but the team isn't going anywhere this year, and they're probably in the same position as the Packers. But the Packers, I tell you what, here's why it's difficult. Why you can make that claim that it's over: Cowboys, Titans at the Eagles, Bears on December 4th. Be careful now.
Cowboys at Dallas.
No, that's at home.
That's at Green Bay. Mike McCarthy comes home.
That's 2 games, by the way, in the week. That's 2 games because that's one of them is Thanksgiving, right? No.
Yeah.
Do I have that right? November 13th and November 17th.
No.
It's so just a regular Thursday night game.
Oh, so Sunday and then Thursday, right? Is that what I have?
Correct.
Okay. So that 2 games
in the
week.
And then do they play on Thanksgiving, too?
Oh, I don't believe so.
27th, actually, against the Eagles. But my point is that it's 2 games in a week for them and 2 tough opponents in the Cowboys and Titans.
And then the Eagles.
Yep.
And then they come in here.
If there's anything we learned yesterday, last night, the Titans are not going to roll over. I mean, we thought that that team was like kind of done even at 5-2. Boy, they are not going to roll over. They will drag you into a fist fight.
I told you guys at the break that stat. Like, in the second quarter, the Titans got their – they had 1 first down the rest of the game and got it to overtime against the Chiefs.
The Titans are the Bears when the Bears are good. You run the football. You play good defense. That's what it is.
But you have a quarterback.
Yes. Well, I said when the Bears are good.
Yeah.
Bears are not good yet. No. When the Bears are good, it's like you just kind of get by offensively. You run the football, make a few passes, and the defense is stout. Aaron Rodgers – oh, boy.
Yeah, it's some throws for sure. Yeah, the kid made a nice one down the middle, but the other two, you know, I probably should have just checked out that play and hand the ball off or adjusted the route in the first one. And then, I just was a little off balance and threw a bad one to Dave in the back.
And so the Packers have lost to the Giants, the Jets, the Commanders, the Bills, and the Lions all in a row.
I had the Lions.
Tough spot. Now it's the Cowboys, and then the Titans for them. Now, again, I won't say that they're dead yet, but I believe that they are comfortable. Could you get Aaron some good pillows, please? What kind of place are you running around here? Christ!
Anything you want to eat? Is there something you want before you go?
Anything that you need? Okay. All
yeah,
right.
One more time. Can I get some Krispy Kreme donuts?
Aaron will be right outside. Thank you. What kind of operation are you running around here, LaFleur? Damn it! It's okay, Aaron. It's all right, buddy. We'll hear from the great Alex Brown coming up next as we talk about the Bears and a loss against the Dolphins. 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.